Death to humanity. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus, who though tempted in all ways as we are, knew no sin, no sense of separation from God his Father. It was there that he agreed to become sin, take upon himself that sense of separation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In order to experience death for every man, that we could become the righteousness of God. Indeed, Jesus couldn't have experienced the death of his body without taking upon himself that sense of separation that is sin. That's why God descended to our level and was born of a woman, made under the law. It wasn't physical death that was the cup that Jesus wanted to pass him by. He made that very clear. No, what he didn't want was that sense of separation, the sin of the whole world, that was necessary in order for him to become sin and experience death. Death not only to that false concept of body, but also death to everything man has ever experienced as a result of that sense of separation. Mental and physical disease, sinful acts, lack of peace, etc. We read about this in Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus submitted to the will of his Father and went to the cross, where he experienced death and destroyed the devil, the carnal mind, which is sin, so that we might no longer be afraid, as was Adam and every man who has ever lived. That death was not only the death of the Hebrew man Jesus, the humanity that God had taken upon himself when he descended and was born of a woman. It was also the death of all humanity. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul, who wrote the scripture quoted above, in the very next chapter of that letter to the Romans, vividly describes what it means to reckon oneself dead unto sin and alive unto God. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul sees in himself, as we all see in ourselves, both our humanity, the carnal mind, and our true identity, the Christ, who is living Paul. We all must recognize, as Paul did, the distinction between the I of the true identity and the carnal-mindedness sin which characterizes our humanity. We must see that the sin is separate and apart from the Christ, who is our true identity, and reckon that false identity to be dead. In fact, like Paul, I have to die daily to the thinking that my humanity is who I am. No, it was destroyed by Jesus on the cross, and I must reckon it to be so. Quit identifying that as my true self. I must keep going within and live out of the Christ mind or consciousness, not being either surprised or horrified by what I experience in my humanity, and not trying to make it better, for it is already dead. The more I keep my focus on the reality, the less I experience that which is not real. In other words, the more I look at the things which are unseen and eternal, the spiritual reality, the more I will experience those things, fruit of the Spirit, and the less I will experience the works of the flesh. I will be heeding the advice of this same Paul we found in such distress in Romans 7, the advice to think only on the things that are lovely and of good report. And I will be experiencing the fruit of taking that advice, the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, that we all long for and will find only when we take our attention off our humanity and place it on the Christ who is living us.